Oh, that's right. It's a continuation of the I Love Ann show. And right now I have Congressman James Clyburn on the phone with us here this morning. How are you doing, Congressman Clyburn?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I look forward to our chats together. In fact, you know, I was reading over some information, and of course, I'm sure you're aware that Governor Haley has decided to keep in the budget the four-year-old kindergarten for areas that are most poor and need that extra help. And of course, you just announced a $1 million in AmeriCorps grants for South Carolina organizations to help with education. I think that's terrific.
Well, thank you so much. There are two grants for AmeriCorps. It is one of those programs that I think is a win-win. It provides real good experience for young college graduates, some of who may want to be teachers. Others just may want to give back before going off and doing something in a career. But it's a good program, because it also helps students, young people who are in the classroom looking, still looking to learn, and they have young people working with them in one-on-one situations. I've been in some of those classrooms. It is really a great program, and so I'm pleased to see that the administration continues to fund our South Carolina efforts.
You know, I think it's terrific. But, you know, one of the things that just continues to concern me, Congressman Clyburn, is the lack of civics in our classrooms. There has to be some way that we make it so our students understand, as they're growing up, number one, what the government can and should be doing for our people and what people should be able to do for themselves.
Well, that's a state issue that we won't be wrestling with up here. I don't disagree with that. I was a classroom teacher myself, and I do believe that it's a bit appalling sometimes to see young people, even college students, not having those fundamentals of citizenship. But, you know, so much, we can't put all of that on the schools. I didn't learn citizenship in school. I learned it in my home. My parents taught me at a very early age, what citizenship was all about and what service was all about. And so that's why this K through 4 program is so important, to get kids at a very early age and get them to want not just to learn, but get them to be inquisitive and have imaginations, and hopefully prepare them for going to school, because so much of that is just before you ever get to the first grade.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, just one last point on that. I happened to talk to a history teacher the other day, a high school history teacher here in Greenwood, and he was telling me last year during the election for president, he wanted all of his students to vote. They made a big push to get them all signed up, and he even said, you know, if you don't want to go by yourself, we'll just go as a group and we'll all go vote. Do you know out of 60 to 70 kids, only 3 voted? Isn't that a bad sign?
Yes, but once again, it's what I'm saying. It's just fundamental. I mean, I wouldn't sleep well if I didn't vote. You know, I was 12 years old when I was elected president of my NAACP Youth Chapter Council. So these are things that got to be taught to children by their parents. And at some point in time, we've got to get families and communities involved in educating our children. It's just something that I don't believe that their teachers can do. It's got to be done outside of the classroom.
What we really need is a holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I know that I want to go on and talk about some other issues that do affect you and, of course, all the people of South Carolina. immigration, it looks like it's going to pass in the Senate. Of course, they've added border security, the path to citizenship. I just wondered, Congressman Clyburn, has any thought been given to using drones as the border patrol?
Well, I've heard that discussion. I don't know exactly what all the Senate will have in his package, but it would not be insulting to me to use drones in that way. In fact, I think that's a better way than trying to erect a fence. I really believe the uses of drones or some other kind of device could be effective. And I really believe it would be less cost.
That's what I was thinking, too. Now, as far as the border and the immigration, I know it hasn't gotten to the House yet, but I know that you must have an idea where you would be on this. How important do you feel having a fence or having drones, securing the border, period, how important do you think that is?
Well, we've always worked to secure the border, but you can't be 100%. You know, this whole thing, you got to have a secure border before you do anything else. Nothing is 100%. I mean, I don't care what it is that you attempt to do. There's nothing that's 100%. And for anybody to even believe that you will have a border that's 100% secure, that's just unrealistic. What we need to do is do what we can and put forth the best efforts. I mean, how do you make the determination that it's 100%? You can't. And so I think this is a very specious argument to make, that we got to have the border 100% secure before we do anything else about immigration. The fact of the matter is, we got 12 to 14 million people floating around in this country, living in the shadows, and they would not be there if they were not benefiting this economy. Now, you and I know that there are a lot of agricultural interests in South Carolina. There are a lot of resort communities in South Carolina that are hiring illegals. We know that. And these people would not be in the shadows if they were not getting they were not benefiting somebody. And it's not just that as well. We know there are a lot of factory workers in South Carolina. In fact, I guarantee you that there are a lot of illegals working on our highways and our bridges in South Carolina, because we make the excuse that the state contracts the job out to ABC Corporation, and then the state will take no responsibility for what ABC Corporation will do in hiring people to do the work. And we know full well they're hiring people they don't have to have health insurance and stuff for. And it's a crazy thing, but that's what's going on, and we know that.
Sure. In fact, I guess we can talk immigration and farm bill maybe together in one discussion.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the farm bill, the guest worker program, this is something that kind of bothers me. The guest worker program, which, of course, does not have enough workers that are needed, but the guest worker program allows for them to be paid, $9.79 an hour, or somewhere in the $9 range, have housing, and have transportation. Whereas the minimum wage here in the country is $7.25. Isn't that a problem right there?
It sounds like it to me. That is a no-brainer there.
Well, I just can't understand why we can pay. And, you know, we have college kids. We have kids. I think if either the wages were all the same or the wages were higher, either way, we could employ our own people. And when we talk about immigration, we talk about, are we worried about some of the jobs that if we legalize all these workers, are we going to lose some jobs for our own people?
Well, that's always the argument that's used, and the fact of the matter is there may be some substance to that. But that's only if the economy fails to expand. If we have a growing, expanding economy, that's not going to be a problem. And I would hope that at some point in the not-too-distant future, we will work together here in this Congress to do what is necessary to grow the economy. We know what to do. This whole notion, and I've heard it in South Carolina, the government can't create jobs. That's the biggest bunch of foolishness in the world. Those roads and bridges that are being built out there, those are jobs that are created by the government. The government can create jobs. It creates jobs all the time. The whole thing about the farm bill. Why do we need to pass a farm bill? And there's job creation in the farm bill. In health care, there's job creation in health care. Government creates jobs all the time. And if the government stopped funding jobs in the so-called private sector, then everything falls through. We all know that we came out of the Great Depression because the government stepped in. And the only way we're going to get out of this great recession is for the government to do its part in creating jobs. That's what it's all about. Hopefully these people will repay the government with the taxes that they will put back into the coffers. And that is what we've done ever since this has been a country. And to have the sloganeering going on, and I've heard it from the lips of some of my colleagues, the government never created a job. That is ridiculous.
Well, I think the government employs a whole lot of people. I mean, if we just look
employ, not just employ, if you can't deny governmental contracts down at the Savannah River plant, how many people up here lobbying me about the MOX fuel thing? The MOX fuel thing cannot go without the government's participation. So you fund it with federal funds. They go out and hire 3,000 people. Now, who created that job?
Well, I guess the government provided the money
absolutely.
For it. Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. You're absolutely right on that one. But now, as far as, though, creating jobs and everything, one of the things that I did notice, you voted against the farm bill, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And you voted against it because?
I voted against the farm bill because we put all kinds of poison bills in the bill. When the bill came out of the committee, there were enough Democrats supporting the bill to pass it. The bill gets to the floor, and Eric Cantor, the Republican leader, mm-hmm. allows all these amendments to be put on the bill. One of the amendments removed the cut from the SNAP program, food stamps, from $20 billion. Now, remember, the bill that left the Senate cut the program, a bipartisan bill, cut food stamps by $4 billion. It gets to the House. So the House says, no, that's not enough. We're going to cut it by $20 billion. Now, that caused problems for a lot of people. But then they decided, well, we'll vote for the $20 billion and hope that we can get a better number coming out of the conference. But the Republicans decided that that's not good enough. We're going to allow this amendment that would raise the cut to $31 billion. That's when they lost me. And then they put on the stipulation, if you are ever guilty of a felony, you will never be able to get food stamps for you or your family for the rest of your lives. Now, you're going to tell me that somebody that commits an error, a felonious error, at the age of 16 or 17 years old, pays his or her debt to society, comes back and gets a great job working for 10 years, all of a sudden the company moves to Mexico or the job closes down and you're unemployed and you need to feed your children. Oh, no, you committed a felony when you were 17 years old. You are never going to be able to get any assistance for the rest of your lives. I was not going to vote for that. And they put that in there. Then they said if you're getting food stamps, then you got to get drug tested. And I'm saying, okay, if that's going to be the rule, if you're getting a farm subsidy, if you own the farm, own the land, and you're getting $3 million a year, not the farm, then you ought to get a drug test. So you test poor people for drugs, but you don't test rich people for drugs. And last time I checked, the more rich people are snorting cocaine than poor people.
So
I voted against the bill.
Right. I understand. You know, don't you think, though, Congressman Clyburn, part of the problem with the bills is that they are 1,200 pages. I'm actually for, I think y'all set a limit on a bill and then vote on these other things separate from. If you only had a 50-page bill, then you could get these things cleaned up, couldn't you?
Well, you pass nothing. The fact of the matter
is... Well, that's my point.
Well, it's nothing wrong with having a comprehensive bill that has something in there for everybody. You know, I think the South Carolinians must be very, very careful. We are a small state, and we have 7 House members mm-hmm. in the Congress. California has got over 50. Now, there are times when crops compete, and if you are not careful and you start pitting California against South Carolina when it comes to farming, mm-hmm. and a lot of people think of California as being San Francisco and Los Angeles. Well, I've been to Southern California. I've been to migrant farms in California, and I can tell you there are many, many more farm workers in California than there are in South Carolina. So be very careful. That's why you try to put the bill together comprehensively so that you can get California to vote for South Carolina's interests. So if you isolate those interests and you start having people protecting only their own, then that's the kind of problem you have when you do these things individually. You'll have some people say, well, you know, Nebraska's got corn. We don't have any corn to think of. That's the thing you have to be careful of. That's why you try to do a comprehensive bill. You get something in there for peanut farmers. There's something there for the orange growers in Florida. There's something there for the California farmers. That's what you do with the bill.
So that is why we still have to, what shall we say, still have the pork that satisfies everybody to get everybody to vote for it?
Well, you can call it pork. But if you in South Carolina and you think that BMW can't exist in Greenville unless we have a good, strong port down there in Charleston, what about those states that got no ports? So, once again, we have to just be careful. We had a meeting yesterday with Jim Newsom from the Ports Authority, and he wants to deepen the Charleston Harbor. Charleston Harbor needs to go down to 50 feet. How do we deepen the Charleston Harbor? There is no interest on the part of somebody in Indiana in the Charleston Harbor. So if you want the people in these other states to vote for your funds to deepen the Charleston Harbor, then there's got to be some reason for them to do that. I mean, why should they vote for your economy when they got other interests with their economy? So that's what this is all about. You live and you let live. You put together a bill that will function for 50 states. This whole thing that I'm going to get my port in Charleston, in Georgetown, and we're going to do this joint port with Savannah down there in Jasper County, but I'm not going to do anything for anybody else. That's crazy.
That's what we used to call give and take, wasn't it, Congressman Clyburn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you...
Important.
Excuse me?
I think that's important.
I think it is important, too. So how do you see Congress moving forward here over the next year, let's say, anyways? Are we going to make any progress, or is it going to still be gridlock?
Well, there is not as much gridlock today as it was a year ago. And hopefully there won't be as much a year from now that there is today. I think there's a thawing of relationships up here. People are beginning to see some of what I just finished talking about because the meeting we had on yesterday was Jim Newsom saying to the members of the congressional delegation, if we can't get y'all's help on funding for this port, it's not going to be good for us because he's been put on notice by the chair of the committee that he is not going to put stuff in there for South Carolina if South Carolina keeps voting against the bill. So all these people who go up and says, I voted no because I want to cut the spending. But I want the spending to come to the South Carolina port. Give me a break. It ain't going to happen.
So what do you think is going to happen on the port?
Well, I don't know. I'm voting for it, and I always have.
Sure.
And we just have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. One last question before I let you go. I hope you have time for. On the NSA, did you know that all this information was being collected on the citizenry?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Right.
And you did not have any problem with it?
No, I didn't. And I still don't have any problem with it. I think that this whole thing about this guy being some kind of a hero, this guy, Snowden. Is a criminal. He needs to be brought to justice. And I really believe he is worse than a criminal. I think he's a spy. And if he wasn't a spy last week this time, him being in Russia playing games with Putin, I think, tells it all.
Yeah. Okay.
And if there's any one of your listeners who see this guy as a hero, they need to question their own patriotism.
I agree with you on Snowden. I certainly do. And I've asked actually every congressman I've had, and some have said, yes, they knew all this information, and some said they didn't. So that's why I wanted to ask you.
A lot of that depends upon what we want to do up here. When people say they didn't know, a lot of times it's because they didn't go to the meetings. I remember when the Senate hearings were going over there, and somebody over in the Senate side said they didn't know. The guy says, that meeting that you didn't come to, that you were invited to, that's where this was discussed. Why didn't you come to the meeting? So when you stay out of the meetings and said you didn't know, then whose fault is that?
Absolutely.
And that's what it keeps happening up here. Now, a lot of meetings, I don't go to these classified meetings. There have been two or three of them in the last several weeks that I didn't go to. And that's because if I know what's going to be discussed, I don't want to go into the meeting and then somebody accuse me of the headline that comes out the next morning. Because I've been in these classified meetings, and 5 minutes after I get out of the meeting, here's a reporter asking me about something that was said in that classified meeting. You know, I'm serious. So I'll stop going.
I understand.
I just wait on the newspaper to come out the next morning.
Sure. Well, you know what? I always enjoy you calling in on my show and look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much, Congressman Clyburn, for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. You have a happy 4th.
Oh, same to you.
All righty. All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.